Thought you'd like to hear a warbler at this point, Siberian, as you no doubt could tell. Darren Irwin in Canada has just published a paper in the journal Science about them, so I'll let him introduce them.
So these are greenish warblers that I'll be playing first from West Siberia. I'll play two songs.
That was delightful. And now with the next ones?
And now these next two songs will be from East Siberia.
Now, on first hearing, they did sound similar, but you can tell a distinct difference.
Yes, it's hard to tell a difference just hearing two of each types, but when you've listened to hundreds or thousands, you begin to start hearing the differences. And the birds can definitely hear a difference. But the basic one is that the West Siberian songs sound more staccato, and they have a higher frequency range, whereas the East Siberian songs, they're a lower frequency range, and they're more rolling, sort of da-da-da, da-da-da. And that's the major difference.
And of course, in front of us, you've also got, through the magic of digital, you've got the waveform, and it's perfectly clear that they're different, so you can tell the species apart.
That's right. By recording the songs and then later using the computer to make a visual representation of the sound, you can then analyze the song in great detail and tell that they're different.
Darren, are you out there in eastern Siberia crawling through the underbrush recording these, the sounds that we've just heard?
More or less, yes. That's exactly what it's like, fighting my way through the forest, trying to catch up with a bird who's singing and record it.
And it's no longer suspect behavior for an American to be wandering around with this sort of equipment somewhere in the Far East.
Well, some people get a little suspicious, but no, it's not a problem now. You can get permits to do this in the different countries, and it's very nice that there's more political freedom in some of these areas that allow this to be done.
Why the warblers? Is it because they're the kind of acoustic equivalent of Darwin's finches, with their different species so close together, demarcated by their beaks, in fact?
Well, these warblers are excellent singers. The other reason that I chose this particular group of warblers, called the greenish warblers, is that they have a very unusual distribution encircling the Tibetan Plateau. And they were described back in 1938 by the great biologist Ernst Mayr as a ring species, in which the two Siberian forms are different species, and yet they're connected through a long chain of populations encircling the Tibetan Plateau to the south. So that's why I chose this species group to study further, to see if this ring species description of the greenish warbler was accurate. And if so, that would allow us to reconstruct the process of speciation in a way that hasn't really been done before.
I wonder, species are defined more or less as distinctive biologically because they can't interbreed. Can some of these across the ring interbreed?
Well, what we know from genetic evidence is that the two Siberian forms, the West Siberian form and the East Siberian form, co-occur in Central Siberia without interbreeding there. We see no evidence that there's hybridization. We don't know further down to the south whether a bird from one side of the ring might interbreed with the other, but what we do know is that there's a gradual genetic change all the way around the ring on the southern side, indicating that each population can sort of interbreed with the next population going around the ring.
And as they gradually become separated, then they specialize in various ways, forming a new species. And you want a new species because you don't want to be confused by trying to have a romance with someone with whom you can't lay eggs.
Yeah, that's right. And what we think has happened is that the greenish warblers were once confined in the southern part of their range, down in the Himalayas. And as the ice ages ended and forests moved up into Siberia, the greenish warblers followed and they expanded into Siberia, both on the western side of the Tibetan Plateau and on the eastern side. And as they went, they adapted to their new situation and changed as they went. They evolved as they went, and then their songs and other characteristics became so different that when they met in central Siberia, they treat each other as separate species.
I suppose this happens across all species, and what you're describing is the way all sorts of animals, and who knows, plants, became what they are. So what you're looking at is an acoustic trail of how it happened everywhere.
That's exactly right. We're using these greenish warblers as a model system to study the process of speciation, and we're trying to learn about how evolution works from this one group of warblers and then try to sort of generalize to other kinds of organisms and learn about how speciation might have occurred in those as well.
Can I hear some more, the other set that you've got?
Sure. So you've heard the forms from West Siberia and from East Siberia. What I'd like to do now is play songs moving southward around the ring. So from West Siberia, moving down through Central Asia, across the Himalayas, up through China, into East Siberia. And we'll hear 8 different songs, one from each population.
All quite distinct, even I could tell the difference. Must have been spectacular terrain, not just Siberia, but around the Himalayas as well. How long did it take you in this quest?
I believe that I spent a total of about 12 months in parts of Asia doing this work, but that was over a period of about 6 years.
And how long does it take to make a species in this regard?
That is a difficult question. It probably depends greatly on different groups, but we know that in some groups, it appears that possibly as little as several thousand years, enough evolution could occur that new species could arise. Usually, though, in birds at least, it takes on the order of 1 million to 2 or 3 million years.
That long, how amazing.
Yes, it's a great deal of time.
Professor Darren Irwin at the University of British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada.